You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 114, Fears and Successes. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? Hi, friends, and welcome to a new episode this week. I am very excited to be interviewing my friend and client, Lizzie Langston. So get ready for this. She is amazing, and I've had the opportunity to be her coach right from the very beginning of her homeschool adventure. And then she kind of took a little break and just dove into homeschooling, and then we've been working together again. And I kind of wanted her to share her perspective of her homeschool journey and what it's been like. Maybe for some of you who are a little bit newer and maybe you compare, like, I'll never be what Meg's doing with her homeschool or something like that. I just love that her perspective is a little bit more fresh and she's 18 months into homeschool and what that journey has looked like. And so I am really excited to have her on the podcast today. Also, we recorded through Zoom because she lives in a different state than I do. And Zoom has a lovely feature now that it tells you when it's recording and not recording, and I don't edit any of my episodes. So you are going to hear this is now recording and it is now a finished recording. So that's just a fun feature of Zoom. So go ahead and enjoy today's podcast and join Lizzie Langston talking about fears and successes. All right, friends, this is a very, very special episode that I am so excited to share with you, my dear friend, Lizzie Langston.
Oh my gosh, you just called me a friend.
Yes. Lizzie and I feel like we're really good friends that we've only ever met through Zoom and Instagram.
Yeah, but I do feel like we've become friends. And I'm also your client and I'm also a fellow coach and I'm also a mom of three, like all sorts of things.
Yeah, Lizzie's awesome. We became, I always call people like my Instagram buddy, but it feels like we're sisters.
Yes.
So Lizzie and I met on Instagram a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so tell us, like, just give us a little background of who you are and like our journey meeting and all those beautiful things.
Yes. Yes. So hi, I'm Lizzie Langston. I am a mama of three. I have a boy and a girl and a boy, seven and under. And you know what? I had the kids kind of back to back to back. Got caught up in some depressiveness and anxiety, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you that's what it was. I just knew I was not feeling myself. And long story short, through trying lots of things like, you know, antidepressants through the OB's office or a natural delivery with midwives, which I actually really enjoy. I mean, there was pain for sure, but it was like a really neat experience, all to try to avoid this depressiveness and anxiety the next time. Cause I had it after my second and then my third, tried therapy. I found coaching and, that's kind of my story. And then as far as homeschooling, so I'm a postpartum coach. I don't think I mentioned that, but as far as homeschooling, my oldest is 7.5 and, before he started kindergarten, I was already thinking of homeschooling and had found Meg on Instagram and loved her handle, the hippie mama. I was like, yes, we're right up the alley. And I definitely felt called to the hippiness and homeschooling was on my horizon. Like it was on my radar, but I thought, you know, let's try kindergarten and see how he does. And honestly, it was a combination of a few things that made me decide to pull him out in December 2019 is when I actually pulled him out, which was great timing right before the pandemic because I got to get all my stuff before everybody needed
it. Before it was sold out.
Yes. But compassion to those who had to go through that sellout phase. That was probably annoying. But it was a combination of being guided through the spirit, but I never felt like forced or like, no, I just have to do this. It was just like little nudges. And so then I would talk to Meg. I think I did a couple, you know, just chats with you and, I would follow people on Instagram. I grabbed, you know, a book that was geared towards homeschooling and I started to just research a little bit and decided to just pull him out. I also noticed my kid is, he's high energy and, I just felt like maybe he was, destined to be labeled by with labels that don't even, he doesn't deserve, you know, as he grows into his gifts and, maybe isn't an amazingly perfect, sit still desk student. I didn't want that to be held against him like I thought it might be. And I actually really love teachers, for the record. My mom was an elementary school teacher. And so this was not like a personal thing, but I mean like against the school system, but right. more, although the more research I've done, the more solid I do feel being called to homeschool and the more proud I am and happy I am that I made this choice, but it really is unique and individual, but yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited to have Lizzie on for a few reasons. Well, one, because she's fantastic and she's awesome. Two, one other big reason is, so I'm starting my 14th year of homeschooling.
That is insane.
Isn't that fun? Like, and I have three slightly, graduates.
I mean, if I didn't know all your fun spunkiness, I might be intimidated by that.
Yeah.
Anybody who is intimidated, because Meg, you're beautiful and you've got it together. You homeschool your kids. I just want to have to, you got to say, like, you, because I'm her client. I've been her client twice. I just have coached with her in two different seasons. And she really is down to earth. Like, just wanted to put that out there for anybody who might think that she's something special. Like, she is special, but so are right. you. So are we all. And one thing I love about Meg is there are times where I can kind of see that she could take me forward, but I'm not ready. And I just tell her and we stop and we deal with my insecurities as a homeschool mom, or we deal with drama, or we deal with worries about what family thinks or whatever else comes up. So she really is like, yes, she can, she's so capable. She can tell you so much, but she will take you where you are for sure. You know what I mean? I just had to say that because I think I felt intimidated here and there.
I'm sure. And I remember even like different people I would meet and I would think I could never be like this mom. And then I'd get to know her and like, oh, she's human.
Yeah.
Like, she still has her stuff.
It's like those of us that kind of watch people like Meg from the shadows and like we love it and we're drawn to it, but we're like, we're not enough to be like them, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That was me with homeschooling. And, but I couldn't deny that internal calling. So where there's a will, there's a way, and Meg meets you halfway. And that kind of rhymed. So
cool. That's adorable. But I like that where Lizzie is. So she's about 18 months into homeschool.
2019, so, 2020. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some things are a little bit more fresh.
Oh, just a few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of things are more fresh. So
I'm not here to hide anything, y'all. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get a pretty packaged testimonial. I'm messy, but
we all are.
It's working.
But it's what I love about it is because like, as we coach and Lizzie will ask me a question and I'll be like, well, I don't do that. And then I'll think, oh, but I did.
Yeah.
And so kind of remembering Meg a year in, remembering Meg 6 months in, you know, like just all those different phases. And so I kind of wanted Lizzie to share her experience of this last 18 months of kind of the emotional journey, kind of where you are now and kind of your hopes for the future with homeschool.
Oh, wow. Love it. Let's do it. Okay. So I identify as a beginner homeschool mom. So for those who might be more intermediate, you know, it's whatever, but I know I would have loved to have somebody like me talk through it because I wanted to see the messy because that's where I felt like I was going to be if I started. And that's why I think I was the most nervous to start. I am with my depressiveness and anxiety that popped up postpartum. It was like an ugly, I shouldn't say ugly. I'm really trying not to judge my past self. That's something I'm working on, but there were days and, you know, time periods where I didn't show up the way that I do today, the way that I wanted to. And I'm still working on those things, but the reason I tell you that is because when I started homeschooling, I had this big fat fear that if me, you know, cause like, okay, I have to go back a little bit. When I was a full-time stay-at-home mom having babies, that's when my depressiveness hit. So I kind of associated staying at home or like being with my kids a lot and depression, which is such a bummer. So then for a while I was like entrepreneur, kick butt, awesome, still am, but now I'm kind of easing back into homeschooling and the motherhood scene more fully. I hope this is making sense, but basically when I started homeschooling, I had this big fear that like my depression would come back and I would be mean to my kids. Cause that's all sadly, very sad. Like I feel sad for my sweet baby self. Cause that's all I'd ever really known when I was full-time stay-at-home mom. But that's one of the reasons I hired Meg. I was like, okay, number one, I'm a student of coaching. I've done some work on my mind and my mindset and my body and processing emotions. And then number two, just in case, I'm going to hire Meg because I don't want things to get ugly for both mine and my kids. And when I say ugly, I just mean, you know, more yelling than I'd like and the things that kind of make your heart cringe, that you want to do better.
I think it's knowing that that's not who you are.
Yeah. That's the pain of it. Yeah. And seeing yourself be like that was scary. And it was really scary when I was depressive, but then I was doing so much better. So to take on something like homeschooling was, I mean, my husband and I both kind of had to have the mental health chat.
Yeah.
Which I know you have also checked in and had that chat before too.
Yeah.
It's important to have, if you're going to decide to homeschool and have some securities in place. So for me, Meg was one of my mental health securities as I took on this big thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then like, tell me kind of the process. Like, so you're in it. Okay. We're going to do it.
Oh yeah. The process was, I felt like I was spaghetti and someone threw me at the fridge and I was sliding down the trail of tomato sauce. It was a lot of processing overwhelm in my body, a lot of just, and not because homeschooling is overwhelming. I really want to make that clear. And the best thing about working with you has been the reversal. As I have shed my old programming, I'm a public school. So I didn't say this, I don't think. I'm a public school, product of the public school system. I don't know if I identify with that, but I went to public school and so did my husband. And we still feel called to homeschool, right? So we're in this conundrum, predicament, whatever you want to call it. I was up against a lot of my old programming and I probably should have just stuck with you. And I think I did a few sessions, like a package, and then I don't know why I stopped. Probably had some good reasons. I don't know. But anyway, I think I wanted to just keep trying on my own.
Yeah.
And then I intuitively took a break from homeschooling. And I just thought, you know what? My business needs me right now and I can pause. That's the best part about homeschooling. And sometimes the anxiety or like, it wasn't anxiety, but sometimes that little voice of like, you should be don't want to get behind would pop in. And I would just remember Meg's words and like go pop onto her Instagram for some and calm my body. And then I would just keep trusting the guidance I was receiving, which was let's focus on your business and get it to a place where it can be a little bit more free of you. It's like a teenager business, not a baby toddler business. Mm-hmm. So I grew it to like a teenager business where I only, you know, it just doesn't require as much of me. And now I've cut back my work hours and I'm homeschooling half the day in the mornings and my husband's going to be helping. And yeah. So
yes, it's interesting. Lizzie and I are opposites where like she's this huge, awesome business guru. And
I'm also really down to earth mommy, but yeah,
no, but, cool. But like, we got to give you a shout out. Her business is awesome and it's flourishing. And so
thank you.
Yeah.
It's just lizzielangston.com. If you guys are wondering.
Oh yes. And
go find it later.
I know so many of you have had postpartum. And so seriously, go check her out because she's going to resonate with a lot of you because she's faith-based. She gets it. Now she homeschools. You know what I mean? Like she's really going to understand you guys. But like, I was just like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom forever. I want to be barefoot and pregnant in my kitchen until my body falls apart, you know, and it fell apart. So I decided I shouldn't be pregnant anymore, but, like we're meeting in the middle. I always laugh for Benjamin Button, like
Benjamin Button. That's cute.
Yeah. Right. Like, so as I'm entering into this business world and maintaining motherhood, like, but my family runs.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And past that toddler stage.
You're like, well, I would say you have run your family like a business. You've always had a hand in business, right? You've treated, I mean, I don't want to equate the family to business, but in
what I do in a lot of my stuff is like my family's my business and I'm the CEO.
You have invested in it. You've grown it very successfully. And now you're teaching others how to do the same in the shell of actual entrepreneurism. That's a word.
Yes. It's okay. And I always tease that my husband's just the silent partner that is the funding. He is the funding agent.
Yeah.
Maybe your husband is like also like a co-CEO. Mine's a silent partner. And
that's a good question. I would say he's more of a co, but I don't think there's a right or wrong there.
No. There's no right or wrong, but that's just where we are. I think I was hoping for a co in the beginning. And my kids and I were laughing because my husband speaks many languages. So perfect timing to do homeschool with dad. And that turned into TV and donuts. And I said, oh, okay. So we're done with this. I'm just going to take it back and we're going to support
dad. I like being
dad.
CEO, she said.
Yeah. Like CEO doesn't feel so bad anymore.
Yeah.
So tell everybody kind of about like some of the fears that you've faced or facing. Mm-hmm. That like you're still working on.
Oh yeah. I would say both. I'd say I have faced and some I'm still working on and mm-hmm. some somewhere in between. Okay. My biggest fear that came up the soonest before I even started homeschooling, I was actually listening to the Called to Homeschool podcast. He was in kindergarten and I was trying to get my feelers out. Like, is this something I actually want to do? And my biggest issue was the social piece, which is what we hear.
Like everybody's biggest concern.
Yeah. And actually, even after I hired you, I noticed it crept back in and I started to see evidence for it. Cause you know, whatever you're thinking, you start to see evidence for, and then I'd have family members on both sides that would here and there, it's not like they were unduly worried about the social piece. They were just homeschool in general. This is new. We both come from public school families, like back generations. Yeah. So really, if you think about what an impact that is to just change it, that's a whole nother probably podcast topic for
being
y'all.
The pioneer.
Yeah, exactly. The pioneer. But the biggest, I'll just list them. So one of my fears was, the social piece, which you address so well on your podcast. So go listen to that episode, guys.
Yeah, I think it's like number two or three. It's right there at the beginning.
It's common, but it's so solvable. It's definitely not a reason to not homeschool. That's what I've decided.
Yeah.
And then also what people think. So like, again, my mom's a public school teacher and she's awesome. And she also, I think doesn't really get it. Like the whole like wanting to homeschool thing. And then in-laws, same thing. Like, but how is he going to have friends if he doesn't go to?
He never will.
Yeah, I know. I love that, by the way. I think I brought that up, what somebody said in my family. And Meg was like, yeah, oh, I lock mine up. I lock him in a dungeon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, love this. Okay. It's not even a thing. Good. Well, I'm glad we got that over with. And then probably the more recent fear, since I've been on a good routine of homeschool that I had to grapple with once I was really actively homeschooling and had started to kind of find our rhythm a little bit, although it's always flexible every day, is getting behind. And I had a really powerful session with Meg where I could tell, like, I didn't like how I was kind of overshadowing and like really aggressively correcting my oldest son's reading. Cause he's first grade age now, I guess. I still think,
I don't know. I only know now because I've been helping other people and they ask, and I still have to think about it. Like, I think they'd be this.
Yeah. And that actually brings me something. So those were my fears.
Okay.
And one thing I wanted to say was one of the biggest kind of unexpected forces for good with working with you has been, I underestimated. So what I already was expecting was like your wealth of knowledge and your coaching skills. What I wasn't expecting was just being in the presence of somebody regularly who, number one, believes in you. Mm-hmm. Number two, holds the space without judgment for all of your messy that as it comes up, as you get going homeschooling. And number three is just like a walking proof to your brain that you can do it. That it can be, it's been done like that, the power of just the presence of you. And I think this happens for my clients too. I think there's something to it. It's just, and it's probably not just a coach thing, right? If there's a mentor in your life or somebody that you love being around, ask yourself why. There's probably a reason it's serving your subconscious or your conscious mind, your highest good, to try to get some, you know, make a change you're trying to make or whatever. And it doesn't have to be a physical presence. Like we've never actually met in physical.
I know it feels like we have, but we haven't. Yeah.
Like, you know, podcast people can be amazing, presences, but there is something about paying the money. And I know you're not like asking me to rave about coaching with you. I'm just indulging here for a minute because it really has been, it has been just what I needed both times I've hired you. But yeah, something about, especially something with homeschooling where it's so wrapped up into your everyday, it can be hard to like give it its proper priority when you're kind of juggling cleaning the house and getting groceries and still just doing regular parenting and marriage stuff. So sometimes just paying that money kind of sets it apart for a minute. So that's a good sign, like that it might be a good time to like pay for some homeschooling support is if, you just feel like you're not able to change as fast as you want to, or you keep trying and you keep just like having the same stuff kind of get in the way. Those are all kind of were flags to me that, okay. Plus the mental health piece.
Yeah. Well, I think about this too with, so I was going to do a full post about this because as many of you know, I do not really care about dogs. And I just got my son a dog. So we now have two dogs and I was the instigator of like, get this kid a dog. So cool story with that, that I'll share, but it's funny because I have never read a book about dogs. I just don't care. So when it comes to training dogs, it's like we need to find somebody who likes dogs and knows some skills with dogs in order to train dogs. And I don't necessarily like to tell you that you call your children dogs, but there are skills. Like, why are some kids so well behaved and some are like bouncing off the walls like they just ate a whole pack of sugar, right? Like, you just sometimes need skills with somebody who's been through the process. So with our first dog, well, our current first dog, we had a dog trainer come and she was amazing and beautiful. And it was like, it's just this. And it's like, this was so simple. Why did I think this was so hard? But it just took somebody who's a lot of times removed from that emotional part of it. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not emotionally tied up with your kid not reading or not reading. Like,
oh my gosh. And that's so relieving because my brain feeds me all day and not really today since we've done sessions, but
yeah.
Before that one session, my brain was constantly only seeing how behind he was. And the beautiful part about that one session that was so memorable is I feel like the veil of like seeing how awesome he's actually doing was removed. So it was more than just like, oh, I'm going to get some tweaking and some help for me. It was like, oh my gosh, he is doing all these things in his reading, even though he's not doing this one thing that I keep focusing on. And so the value of that, I don't know, it's insurmountable. Like, it's just because now I have a closeness with him and also we got to, I mean, I could go on and on about things we've learned coaching. I don't know, but I guess one other thing as I'll share is we got to the bottom of why I was, I don't even remember now, prodding him along or something. Anyway,
I
there
do
was
remember,
just,
but I don't know. Like, it's your story to tell, so I won't.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. I'm open. I have no shame. Yeah. I'm all about the learning.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I think I'd coached you and a few other people that day and it was like, help with this homeschool. And as we step back and it was like, actually, let's help with this relationship and homeschool solves itself.
Oh, can I give you an update with that? Everybody want an update? So what and this wasn't really from anything you said as much as like the minutes after our session, I kind of was just sitting on everything and quietly and also doing your workbook. Like I don't know if that's a freebie.
Oh yeah, it is in the membership. Create your homeschool year with confidence.
Okay. So it's inside the membership?
Yeah. That's cool. Free.
Create your homeschool.
Could I make it wordier?
No, I just want to make sure I said it right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she assigned me some sections to fill out as part of like my coaching homework.
Yeah.
And as I did those, and so anyway, just these quiet moments where I was like reflecting, my husband and I decided that this next year, so we're moving to Costa Rica. Did I not mention that, everyone?
No, she didn't. I love it. My Megan, wild heart.
I just called you Megan because Zoom says Megan. That was weird.
It's that's
Meg's
going
to come visit us, right, Meg?
Yes. I just found flights the other day for an awesome price. So I'm like, oh, I could actually go see Lizzie.
Girlfriend, seriously. we have a big van. It's going to be great. So, but anyway, we were thinking about our year. And after this session, I came home and I said, like, all of a sudden, I get it. It's not about school. It's about connection, especially at this age. So this year, our whole goal, anything we teach, we're going to be doing it from a connection perspective. Connection's the priority, connection, connection, and connection. And then I had all these ideas coming in. And what made me really realize that was you shared how one of your kids didn't do math till third grade or something, or maybe
I just don't really do math till third grade.
Yeah. And they're all like way ahead of the system and their peers and other siblings that maybe started sooner or whatever. So I was like, oh, it really is connection and making sure learning's fun. That is actually the main two ingredients in the recipe for a homeschool education is like, oh, okay. It really sunk in this last time.
Yeah. So I want you to share just maybe some things that you didn't know you would learn or like ways you didn't even realize you would grow from these last 18 months of homeschooling. Like, I didn't realize this was going to be better.
I didn't realize okay, I gotta spit this out. I didn't realize my time management in my business would exponentially increase and my efficiency and my delegation skills because of my motivation to be at home homeschooling.
Wow.
Right?
That's an awesome skill.
I work half days, get as much done. I pay for some of it to be done by other people, but that's fine. It's worth it to me to be able to be home and homeschool my children. So for anybody who's like, I want to homeschool, but I have a business or maybe you're already homeschooling and you're just like losing your mind and you're thinking of putting them back in, which by the way, like I never want to take the option of putting your kids back in school off the table, because sometimes it really could be the healthiest thing for you depending. So, but yeah, I think that, that's been a really unexpected, beautiful one.
That's awesome.
Yes.
What about your own growth this last year? Like just you as a person?
I think, one lesson that I've learned before, but it was to a new magnitude and just a nice repetition, you know, just like really searing it into my soul. This is truth is, okay, hold on. I'm like, I was going to say that, but you know, what's coming to mind? I got to say this other one. Okay. This one's coming first. What's coming first is, so Harry Potter. Okay. I love Harry Potter. When I get sick, it's my comfort movie. If my brain is fried, I just turn on one of the Harry Potter movies, you know, usually like the middle ones. I feel like the really early ones are a little early and young. And then the later ones kind of get scary, but they're fine. I can do them. But I like those middle ones, like 3, 4, 5. Okay. Anyway, that's besides the point. But my son has gotten so into Legos. And like, I guess one of the lessons I've learned is that you don't have to feel bad about spending a lot of money on education. Like I always did in the beginning, and I was trying to budget, and I'm all for budgeting. I'm just saying I like used to make them earn toys, quote toys. And now I'm realizing how education, quote unquote, can really be anything. And if he's into Harry Potter right now and he wants to build Legos and he doesn't start reading for 6 more months or a year, by all means. And old Lizzie would have never, ever gotten on board with that. I would have been 2 panties in a bundle over his timing and his progress. So,
yeah. So a lot of skills with being able to relax. Mm-hmm. And I think even taking in the big picture, like,
and connecting with my kids.
Yes. Like this is all going to be okay.
Yeah. Like easing, like really buying into this idea that connection is like where connection happens, education happens.
Yeah.
Period. It's really a lot simpler. And that's the direction to enter at is the connection piece. So,
yeah. So I think I'll just wrap up and share something from our last session.
Okay.
That I watched Lizzie's face going like, wait, this counts as homeschool. Have to look up, but floors and ceilings, there's a past episode called Floors and Ceilings where I was interviewing the lovely Brooke Snow. And we talked about floors and ceilings. And so Lizzie was saying she wants to just do 3 basic things a day, right?
So handwriting, reading, and math.
Yes.
That was before I had the session with you, by the way, but yes.
Okay. So as of before the session, she's like, I want to do those 3 things. So like, fantastic. So just a quick recap of floors and ceilings. Ceilings are like the ideal of like, this is what I would love everything to look like. When I read a book, all my children come and sit around me. The windows are open. Birds are fluttering in, right?
Yeah, like, it's like fairy tales and nightmares kind of like floors. Yeah.
just the fairy tale part.
Floors are not a nightmare.
Yeah. So then the floors are the bare minimum.
Yeah. It's just that I'm a recovering perfectionist. I no longer identify as a perfectionist, but occasionally if there's fear present at all, which in my homeschooling there has been, I pull perfectionistic, I pull a little extreme. And that's what I've learned about myself. And so for me, when you said like you were helping me decide, which by the way, it was so relieving. So go listen to the floors and ceilings thingy, work with Meg on this, because basically what you're doing is you're giving yourself a way to still celebrate but you're deciding what your bare minimum is. So what it does, I've noticed, and it's just been like a day, but even just talking to my husband about it, is it never makes you drop out and give up. It's basically a safety that makes space for our humanness and for the days that we really struggle and things might get quote ugly, like we might perceive them to be that way. And instead of judging ourselves, and I've noticed Meg is really good at this. And so my guess is that this is a skill that is not, she's not good at judging herself. I'm going to get to it. But I'm guessing this is a skill that helps her be so successful as a homeschool mom. So it's probably something we should all shoot for, which is she always finds a way to see that silver lining and to give herself a pat on the back somehow.
Yeah.
And you would think that doing that kind of almost no matter what, like setting a really low bar for that floor, you would think that that would then make you get away with things or just not try, but it's the opposite. It fuels you.
Yeah. Cause you start to feel successful.
Yeah. And you just feel successful.
It's like, oh, I'm amazing. I could do a little bit more.
So I laughed at her when she's like, okay, so for handwriting, your floor, your bare minimum on the worst day, if you feel crampy from your period or something and like your kids are screaming, your bare minimum is getting out some crayons and paper and calling it
handwriting. No, like we could write our names. We could, I go, no.
You're like, nope. We Bar needs to go lower. I was like, Meg, no, like I'm having, my brain could not grasp it until I watched almost like your countenance as you were role-playing for a second. You're like, no, here's how it's going to go. You're going to put out the crayons and paper. You're going to be like, look at me. I'm so awesome. I put out the crayons and paper. And just then I got a glimpse of like, I teach this to my clients. This is an internal principle. Like this is true that when you celebrate, like it just builds momentum. Mm-hmm. And when you judge yourself and you just don't want to try again, you just want to run away.
Right. Like I fail at this. I'm terrible at this. Why would I keep trying?
But our brain goes there. Our brain totally shames us regularly. That's just kind of, it's programming is that problem solving. This is why you got to learn how to be in your body too, which is, you know, come work with me or Meg teaches us too. But yeah, it's like, I just let go last night. Our session was just yesterday, but
yeah,
I got home and like all of a sudden homeschooling didn't feel so like constricting or like I needed to have every little thing and do everything. And blah, 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 blah.
So I love this. I'm going to share the three floors we came up with Lizzie, because I think they're super helpful. So she wanted to do just at least handwriting, reading, and math every day.
Yeah.
So
which like, now I'm like, oh, actually, I don't know if I need to do math every day after talking to you. Yes.
So we came up with three floors, and the floor for handwriting, like we said, was just putting out crayons and paper.
Yep.
And that's her bare minimum. And with reading, it's setting out a book. Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't even have to read it and doesn't even have to open it. But mm-hmm. there's going to be a book there and her kids mm-hmm. could look at it. They could do whatever with it. Mm-hmm. Like there's a book. And math is setting out something that the kids could count.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, what's funny is already my brain is quantifying and measuring, trying to decide how I'm going to know it's a success. Like, did they pick up the book, you know? but that's beside the point. And I think we're so used to like class schedules. And at this time we do this subject. And then if you mm-hmm. didn't, then you're done and you're behind and sorry, you have to do it tomorrow. And I've just loved like the holistic flowiness of homeschooling that it permits. And like, that's who I think I truly am. I think mm-hmm. each of us has the capacity to get there, and homeschooling is bringing that out in me. And I'm so grateful because that's the mom I've wanted to be. And it's interesting how we think we need to be the mom to be like, we need to already have that in order to homeschool. So we wait and we, you know, feel bad about ourselves and we compare ourselves, but really it's getting into homeschooling super imperfectly, maybe hiring a coach if you feel, you know, like you really need that extra support or getting into some sort of membership or whatever, but it's like, it can make you that person. Homeschool can be the means for you to be that mom you want to be. Yeah. It can be messy. It should be messy. And that's not a reason not to do it. And I don't know. I was just so perfectionistic. I just wanted to say that because you've really been a good example of like, actually you're not a good example right now because you're really great and awesome, but you do give good examples. You give good examples. And actually that's not true. The other day you shared a post of like your toddler screaming the whole hike and you were like, here we are. We did it. Yeah. So you that's both give good examples, but you also have a lot of years of the messy too. And not that we like need people to share messy in order to feel like it's okay to be messy, but sometimes it helps.
Yeah. I think I've shared a picture of my boy's wall. Maybe I haven't, where one day he was just mad and took a hammer to the wall. And I go, interesting. Now guess what you get to learn to do? You get to learn how to patch drywall. Like homeschool got to be all about learning how to feel our emotions instead of taking a hammer to the wall. And then we had a homeschool lesson on how to repair a wall. Like I was like, we're always learning, champ. Not a big deal.
Yes. Yes, we're always learning. That's another thing homeschooling has taught me. It's like, it's not just the quote unquote school time, you know, where we have worksheets out. It's like how you handle when they don't want to learn. You know, I could go on and on, but it's been awesome working with you. And I am so pleased that the source of all things, the Lord saw fit to kind of call me into homeschooling even. And I'm really grateful to my past self for just doing it and struggling hard. And like just and taking a break and then trying it again. Like, I love all of that. There's no shame in any of that.
Awesome. Okay, friends, if you want to check out Lizzie, what was your website again?
So it's lizzielangston.com/course is where you can work with me because I'm no longer doing private coaching. And so what we're doing is you buy a course. It's the postpartum anxiety course. And then you do the membership that goes with it. Or if you want a free resource to kind of get to know me, you can go to the Postpartum Coach podcast. So if you're already on the podcast vibe, people love the podcast, which is really flattering and cute and sweet.
That's awesome.
The Postpartum Coach podcast. Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Lizzie. Thank you for sharing your adventure so far. And I'm just excited to keep working with you and seeing your progress. But I wanted you guys to kind of see, just get a taste of it, that Lizzie's been in it for 18 months and the progress she's already had and the amazing things she's already able to create just by being intentional with how she wants to be in her homeschool. So just some hope as you're like, this is impossible. It's never going to work. It totally is going to work. I think I said that to you yesterday. Like, Lizzie, this totally works.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the first few years, you really don't see a whole lot. You just have to like get that inner belief and your whys lined up. And then over time you start to see that more external piece, but being okay with just like the quiet trying and trying again and talking to Meg.
Yeah. So thank you. Awesome. Okay, Lizzie, thanks so much. You guys, if you need any help with postpartum, you want to check her out. And thanks for taking the time to come be on the podcast today.
Of course. See you guys.
Bye.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.